In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I got an email from Father Thomas Moore just a couple days ago. You'll know Father Thomas, many of you, because he was here helping the crew that added the entrance to our building this past summer. And Father Thomas greeted me, "Happy New Year!" And that's because the liturgical year begins in September. Not in January, the way the secular year, but the liturgical year re-begins every year in September. According to ancient rabbis, the world was created in the fall, in September. I don't know how that works time-wise, but it appeals to me. I like the fall, but it does seem kind of upside down because we think of spring as the time when things are returning to life, but the fall, there are so many things that are opposite from what we in the world think they would be, though, and who knows, it could be. At any rate, we re-begin the cycle of our life in Christ at the beginning of the month of September. The last feast in the past liturgical year was the dormition, the falling asleep of the Theotokos, the Mother of God, Mary. The first feast of the new liturgical year is the Nativity of the Theotokos this month, this coming week. She is a person whose life was totally faithful to God. Now, there are some teachings in the Western churches about her that we don't share in the Orthodox Church because our understanding of salvation is different. From our point of view, the Western understanding of salvation looks to us almost like some kind of an abstract document made up of ideas, like the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, something where people have gone to Scripture and they have put together a set of principles that are to be believed in. And if you believe in them and accept them, then you have salvation. That's not our understanding. Salvation doesn't come by our believing in a set of principles. Even if the principles and the teachings and the doctrines happen to be true, as Orthodox, our understanding is that the doctrine and teaching of the early church, the doctrine and teaching of the apostles, and the generations that immediately followed the generation of the apostles, and down through the life of the church in historical time have been passed down to us. And yes, we have absolute confidence in our doctrine and teaching, but they are not the things that we believe in. We believe in Christ and the new life that he has given us by destroying the power of death over us and making it possible to share his perfect humanity and his divinity so that the meaning of life is restored to us. Every minute, every hour, every day, every year of our lives. And living that life, we are living a life of salvation. That's our understanding. It has to do with time, the mystery of time. The life of the Theotokos, Mary, the Mother of God, was a life lived in time. Each hour of each day, she chose him rather than the world. Easier to believe of a mother when you think of a mother and her child, that she would choose Christ, God, Jesus, over anything and everything else. Easier to believe of a mother so devout that she responded to Gabriel by saying, "Thy will be done." There is no idea among the Orthodox that she was perfect in some kind of abstract sense, without sin. No, sin is about the things that we do, missing the mark. And we say that when it comes to being the mother of Jesus the Christ, she never missed the mark. She always hit that mark, and she accomplished that by loving him. It's about time. It's about the time of our lives. All of the people who have ever lived, 100 billion before those alive today, the silent majority. Remember, that's what that term actually means. Those who are departed. Many of whom have fallen asleep in the Lord. That is to say, many of whom continue to live the eternal lives that they began in Christ while they were still in this world. All of them live their lives just as we do, minute by minute, hour, day, year. 40 years, 50, 70, or more. Their lives were brief according to the long span of time, just as ours are brief. But it is within the living of our lives that the difference of the salvation that Christ gave to us makes a difference, not just at the end. The difference that it makes from the beginning of our life in Christ, the beginning of our abandoning of our faith in the world, however we might have to struggle with that faith returning to us by way of passions, desires, lusts. We always return to that life that tramples down the scent of death that runs through this world and returns to living the life of Christ as we are challenged moment by moment, hour by hour. It's about the time of our lives. It's not an abstract doctrine or teaching that by accepting it, we somehow enter a condition where now we are saved and before we weren't. How about the living of our lives? The living of our lives is meant to be an affirmation of what Christ has given us. But what has he given us? The parable that we heard Jesus Christ tell the apostles today can be a great help to us. The kingdom of God, he said, is like when a great king called all of his servants to him to render an accounting for all that they owed him. And someone came who owed him a great deal, and he couldn't pay. And so he was going to have to be thrown into prison, and all of his family. But the man said, "Give me time, and I will repay everything that I owe." But the master knew this servant could never pay all that he owed. So much he owed that even if he were given the rest of his life, he could never repay what he owed. But the master took compassion and pity on the man, and he said, "Your debt is paid." And here's where time comes in. Here's where the living of your life comes in. Here's where the difference in how you live that life after the debt has been paid and forgiven. That's the thing about this parable of central importance. The master had given the man time. The debt was forgiven, but still he owed the debt. And he would have to repay the master by passing on the compassion of the master to the others, forgiving their debts to him. How could he do anything else? The man was sold and he was forgiven. We are sold, as the expression goes, under sin. We live lives where we miss the mark of being like Christ. We are created in the image and meant to be according to the likeness of God. But we live according to the likeness of the world and the prince of this world. We owe that debt to God. We can't repay it. He has given us the means that the debt has been paid, but he expects something from us. You have the time to live in repayment of the debt that you owe me, the Lord says. And what debt do we owe him? How do we participate in his divine life and his perfect humanity? By forgiving others as we have been forgiven. And during every moment of the rest of our lives, the world will challenge us to betray Christ and not forgive others. Each moment, each hour, each day, the world will challenge us to be tempted to call others to an account, to judge them. And in every case, if we are going to be faithful to Christ, we will let the forgiveness that God has given to us pass through us and on to them, because that's the way it works. God forgives. When we forgive others, it is not our forgiveness that we give them. It is the forgiveness of God that is meant to pass through us and on to them. Unless we say, "No, I do not forgive. This is owed to me by that other person. I was trying to accomplish something. I was trying to do something good. I was trying to maybe secure my place in the world, but maybe trying to do something that was intended to be completely for God." Whatever it was, the moment we say, "No, I resent the fact that they have done what they did," at that point, the forgiveness, the grace of God that He has given us in forgiving us stops with us. We become a solid object, preventing God's grace and love from passing through us on to another. That's why Jesus says, "If you forgive others, I will forgive. If you do not forgive others, then I will not forgive." Because we've returned back to the point where we owe and we refuse to pay. We owe God forgiveness of others. That's what we owe them. And we are given the time of our lives to live like Christ, to participate in His life by our forgiveness of others. That's how we participate in the life of Christ. Not by trying to make ourselves as perfect as He is, with the idea that it is about me and my accomplishment of virtues and the positive and good things that I do. We have opportunity after opportunity to be Christ-like and do the good acts that others require. Not acts that our egos require, but the things that others require and need of someone who can give them compassion, forgiveness, and encouragement. That's how we participate in the life of Christ. As we go through our lives and sometimes get caught up in making an effort to accomplish worldly things, we feel like we're on the upward trend. We're going up. We're getting better. Things are going well according to our accomplishments in the world. But the fact of the matter is that oftentimes it is exactly when things are not going so well for us, when we are forced by circumstances to be more humble, that spiritually we are actually ascending. As we go through our lives, all of us age, time takes its toll on us, and we begin to feel, "I'm not the man or the woman that I was when I was a teenager, in my 20s, in my 30s, in my 40s. I'm beginning to descend from my peak." And the fact of the matter is that it may well be that we are actually ascending rather than descending. We may actually be making movement up the mountain toward the peak of heaven, so that we can share the holiness and the goodness of Christ and His apostles, and all of those who have lived out lives just like ours, given an allotted amount of time, years in our lives, in order to become more humble, less focused on ourselves. It may feel like a descent, like we are becoming less and less, when in fact we are becoming more and more the humble servant, more and more like Christ, gaining in humility. Every day, every moment of our lives is exactly like that. Always of spiritual significance. Always on the spiritual ascent. In a movement toward Christ's perfection that is not ours, but is ours to affirm and to struggle for against the temptation to slide down and away from Him and feel stronger in terms of the way of the world. That's always our choice. And so, when we are tempted to judge others, to hold them to an account, as though we were the master, and we did not need and did not owe forgiveness and compassion, we can remember Christ's parable of what the kingdom of heaven is all about. It is about the forgiveness of others. As we deal with others, so God will deal with us, because that is the reality of our relationship to God and to others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.